Cyber 24 is presented by our friends at Valcom. Valcom is a Utah-based IT solutions and services provider with a drive for getting IT right. From ironclad security to computing and beyond, Valcom's 35-plus years means they have the experience and the expertise to help your business from desktop to the data center. Check them out at vlcm.com. All right, welcome to the Cyber 24 podcast, the weekly pod dedicated to helping business and governmental leaders better understand the often intimidating topic of cybersecurity so you can make better decisions to keep your organization safe. My name is Marty Carpenter of Northbound Strategy. That's where we put thought leadership into action. And we've got a real thought leader with us on the show today. Our guest is Eric Olden. He is the co-founder and CEO of a company called Strata Identity. Eric is a widely respected thought leader in identity management. He's also the visionary behind Simplified's strategy to secure the cloud. We talked to him about identity landscape and identity fabric and a whole bunch of things related to identity. Really interesting conversation with Eric Olden of Strata Identity. I hope you enjoy. All right, Eric, why don't we start here? Tell us a little bit about yourself, your professional background, and tell us a little bit about Strata Identity.
Thanks for having me, Marty. So my background has been a career of 27 years in identity and access management. And I got my start when I was still in college. I started my first company, Securant Technologies, when I was in, senior year at Berkeley. And it was the early days of the web, 1995. Netscape had just come out and we were trying to figure out how to secure the larger size of kind of user environments, right? People having all of a sudden millions of customers having to access their website. And we built an identity management system to solve that problem. And, you know, things have changed a lot, but many things have stayed the same. After many years of two guys being in a dorm room, led to 300 people, and we were about to go public. The dot-com crash changed that. We got acquired by RSA. Towards the end of that, I was one of the co-authors of a standard called SAML, the Security Assertion Markup Language. And we built that out of necessity to allow companies to trust other entities on the internet and to share identity. And I took a few years off and then in 2006, started my second company, Simplified, which was the first identity in the cloud company. And we solved the problem that people had moving apps to software as a service or SaaS. And coincidentally, grew that company and sold it to RSA as well. And then I had a couple years at Oracle in running the identity and security division for Oracle. And kind of very different point of view on the market when you're in the dominant kind of incumbent position. That was fun. And what I really took away from being the lead of the security and identity for the Oracle Cloud and all of the Oracle SaaS applications and the enterprise software, we saw the big shift that was happening, that people were moving to multi-cloud. And they didn't need to be convinced that they should run on the cloud. They were now struggling with running on 2, 3, 4, 5 different clouds. They'd use Oracle, they'd use Amazon, they'd use Microsoft, they'd use Google. And the problem of identity got even more complex. So I left Oracle and I got to a group of people we had worked together before, and we got the band back together and created this new company called Strata. And Strata Identity is focused on a new market called identity orchestration, which solves the problem of multi-cloud, multi-vendor identity. And we allow people to orchestrate their policies and identities across Okta and Microsoft and Oracle and so forth. So it's been a long journey, seen a lot, and I think we're really, in many ways, just getting started.
How has the world changed in the past few years, and how has the identity landscape evolved to keep up?
So I think the underlying change has been around distributed architectures. And if you go back to the mid-90s, early 2000s, you would have a lot of centralized computing, and you had an ability to put everything in a secure data center. And then over time, you started to see your applications and your data move outside your perimeter, initially in SaaS applications. And now you had this problem that, you know, if you had the initial fortress mentality, all of a sudden you don't have all of the things you care about inside the castle. They're all over the place. And so you had to rethink how people would access apps and data, where identity became the new perimeter. And you'd have people accessing it from wherever, out in a Wi-Fi hotspot at an airport or at a Starbucks. And you couldn't rely on networks to handle the scale. And then with multi-cloud, that became even more complicated, because now you had many data centers that were all over the cloud. And especially we saw this in the pandemic, everybody was remote. So they really couldn't use a VPN, because all of the apps and data were running in many different locations. And so that made that whole identity being the new perimeter even more true. And people started to talk about it in terms of zero trust, where they would use the public internet and always authenticate and check access for every request and every transaction. So zero trust was really kind of coming into full swing 2018 till 2022, still is. But what we've really seen is that distributed architectures now, when you look at cloud native architectures, you can have your app run in multiple parts running in different platforms. So you may have part of your app running in Amazon, part of your app running in Azure, and part of your data could be on premises. So now you've got your application that straddles three different clouds, but it's logically one application. So when you think about how identity needs to work in that environment, you need to think about how that's going to span multiple security domains. And consequently, the way to think about distributed identity is to think, how can I have a user policy in three different places be consistent? And to do that, we employ a new technology called identity orchestration, which is how you coordinate the user experience and security across multiple different identity systems. And that's integrated into something called an identity fabric. So kind of think about applying concepts that we saw in compute, where you had virtualization start with VMware, evolve into containers, then into Kubernetes, and now into serverless. Identity is having a similar evolution, where you started centralized, become more distributed, and today everything is assumed to be able to run in any platform using any technology. So really, I think the name of the game for identity in 2023 and beyond is moving from an idea of we manage our identity in this place or another place to we manage identity in this place and another one. So switching from or to and, I think, is the way that I simplify the notion of distributed identity.
Yeah. So you mentioned identity orchestration. How is that different than like the IAM solutions on the market?
Yeah, the identity orchestration approach is to link things together. And the typical identity and access management identity provider, the IDP, that was the most common approach that software vendors would take. Okta is a great example, a very capable IDP. Azure Active Directory is another IDP, and Google has one, Cloud Identity. Amazon has one called Cognito. And there's a lot of the other smaller players like Ping and ForgeRock and so forth. So all of these IDPs generally took a winner takes all mentality because they were selling their identity provider based on the number of users that were in it. And so if a user was in Okta, you wouldn't want to pay for that same user in Azure AD. So the IDPs were always trying to amass as many identities as they could because that was the business model. Now, when you think about orchestration, it is a different mindset because most organizations in the enterprise scale, they don't have just one of anything. And maybe it's because of a merger, acquisition, or divestiture, you can end up very commonly with Okta for one part of the business, maybe the workforce, and Azure AD for your partners, and then maybe ForgeRock for your consumer identity. So now you have three different IDPs, but the enterprise just thinks about their customer or their workers as identities that need to be in these three different systems. You can't say, oh, we're going to put everything in one because the business is built very deeply around your identity provider. So when you think about orchestrating, what you're doing is you're saying, look, we can have a policy for the user that may authenticate against Okta, may have a multi-factor authentication check with Hyper, and then authorization being done by Azure. And so to string those three different identity systems together, that's the role of orchestration. And there's two parts to it. One is to integrate everything using an abstraction layer in what we call, and others like Gartner call, an identity fabric. So think about that as your core platform that everything's integrated with. And then on top of that, you build what we call user flows, or the experience of a user as they go from one system to the next, ultimately in pursuit of accessing an application or data. But the enterprise needs to be able to enforce rules that may run on these different identity providers. And so being able to create a policy that spans many different systems, that's what people are doing with identity orchestration that they couldn't have done with the IDPs, because the IDPs don't know how to really play well with the others, and they're trying to kind of consume the end user.
Recent events have fundamentally changed the way we work. It's created new challenges for keeping employees connected, productive from home, and safe when they return to the office. To help bring organizations into this new normal of work, Aruba Networks has developed an AI-driven intelligent cloud-managed networking platform that can help your business with secure business-class connectivity at home, staff safety management, and flexible financing options. With Aruba, you can have a safe and productive workplace for your employees. Learn more about Aruba's hybrid workplace-powered solutions with Valcom by visiting vlcm.com/edge. That's vlcm.com/edge. In an environment where IT staff struggles to keep up, most small to medium-sized businesses find themselves forced to react to security alerts rather than to proactively and preemptively manage threats and address potential vulnerabilities. HPE stands ready to help SMBs make the all-important switch from reactive, static, and siloed security tools and techniques to intelligent, adaptive security platforms that span the digital world. HPE's security solutions allow SMBs to close existing security gaps with coverage at the edge, in the cloud, and on-premises, all under a consistent and coherent security umbrella. Learn more about what HPE can do for SMBs by visiting vlcm.com/HPE. That's vlcm.com/HPE. So walk us through this idea of app identity modernization and maybe make the case for why enterprises should care about that.
Yeah, well, I've seen the evolution of identity and its infrastructure. So they tend to be very long-lived investments. And there are several customers, much to my surprise, that still run my software ClearTrust that's over 25 years old. And other technologies like SiteMinder and Oracle had a big footprint in the enterprise. So you have all of these environments that run Active Directory, right? They run all of that first, second generation identity technology. But the problem is that your applications, in order to work with those, were tightly coupled with those IDPs. And so if you want to move your application to, say, Azure or Amazon to move to the cloud, you're locked into your data center because the identity system is stuck on-prem. And so you have this lock-in that is holding back the digital transformations and the movement to the cloud. So when you look at what it takes to modernize an application, for instance, get off of SiteMinder and use Azure AD, you have to typically rewrite that application. And that takes a lot of time, costs a lot of money. Depending on the organization, it can cost you anywhere from $50,000 to $250,000 just to change kind of the equivalent of changing the lock on the door. You don't get a different building. You got the same building, but you spent a lot of money changing the lock to get into that building. And what we found is a way to use this new technology called identity orchestration to decouple the application from the IDP and allow you to swap the identity provider without changing the application. So imagine if you had hundreds of applications, and now we're thinking about it more like a hotel, and you've got hundreds of rooms in the hotel, and you want to move from the antiquated physical key that's that magnetic plastic card that so many hotels rely on. So we want to move that to something you can have on your phone. Well, if we had to go through 500 rooms in a hotel and change that lock to work with your phone, that could take a long time, cost a lot of money. So the equivalent would be to have a way to put something on the door without changing the door that would also allow you to use the phone instead of the plastic card. If you still had the plastic card, you could use that too. So that's what we're doing with modernization, is allowing companies to say, hey, we want to switch the old stuff out with the new, but we don't want to change the application. And so if you put the abstraction layer in there, now you can point your application to use the cloud-based identity instead of the on-prem legacy stuff. And that, while it sounds simple, saves companies tens of millions of dollars because they can avoid that expensive refactoring of your application. And maybe a bigger thing is that now you can simplify your infrastructure and get rid of things that are 10, 15, 20 years old and go with the new cloud delivered latest and greatest technology and all of that. So it's not only modernizing it, but it's adding new capabilities at the same time.
Yeah, that hotel analogy is really helpful, I think, to be able to envision what you're getting at here. What other use cases can identity orchestration solve?
You know, the modernization is something that a lot of companies struggle with. And then they think once they get their hands on orchestration, they can do all sorts of new things. The two that we see a lot of our customers use, one is to create a user experience where you want to have a user journey that spans different stages of the relationship with the user. Maybe you're a bank and you want to get people to sign up online to your digital product. And so because banks rely on identity to do things like anti-money laundering and make sure that prevent bad people from creating an account. And so you want to think about that onboarding experience to, for instance, streamline the way that they create an account and bake in the validation of that identity. And so, for instance, in that case, we could use orchestration to create an account in Cognito on Amazon. And then before we turn that account on, we'll have that user check their and validate their identity in something like One Cosmos, which is a way you take a picture of your driver's license, do a video selfie. Now the bank can say that they verified that this is in essence a real person. And now we can use the orchestration to automate the creation of that account. So to the company, to the bank, they were able to check all of their compliance boxes and security. And then from the new customer's experience, it was just a couple clicks, and it was a much more seamless experience than having to kind of go into the bank and find a branch, show your driver's license. All of that kind of hassle goes away. And then the third use case that we see a lot is around deploying passwordless. And when you think about the biggest problem of security in the modern world, it has to do with the vulnerability of passwords. They're the single most common culprit in breaches. I think the statistics are somewhere around 90% or more have to do with a compromised password, whether it was compromised through phishing or a data breach or any number of different things. Passwords are very vulnerable. So what do? You use something like a Hyper or Yubico, or there's a lot of great innovation happening in the passwordless world where you use your phone as a multi-factor device, or your biometric on your face scan on your phone, or your YubiKeys that you plug into your laptop. So all of these are ways to get rid of passwords. But then the problem is, going back to that hotel example, we got to make this new passwordless security work on all 500 of the hotel rooms. And now you're back to that problem of upgrading the lock, because this is a new technology that your entrance was not designed to work with. So you can use the same orchestration technology to now say, we're going to deploy passwordless as an authentication mechanism to these 300 applications without ever changing any of those applications. And so you get this kind of put it in the drinking water if you follow the metaphor.
Mm-hmm. You mentioned a term earlier on in the conversation, and maybe a couple of times, identity fabric. So maybe just help us understand, what is an identity fabric, and how is it like critical for organizations to move forward with that type of approach?
Yes, an identity fabric is a way to think about all of the different infrastructure that you have your identity management touch. So most commonly, your identity providers, your core IDPs, the Okta's, the Azure ADs, the Cognitos, but there's a lot of other ones as well. You may have your identity authentication systems, your Hypers, your RSA Secure ID, your Yubico, and then you'll have your authorization systems. These could be OPA, the open source one. You may use a plain ID. So different ways to get an authorization decision. So right there, those are three different types. Signals are another one, but just looking at those three different categories of identity providers, within those categories, you're going to have more than one technology. So you've got a multi-vendor problem as well. So it becomes this big mess of all of these different technologies. They don't play well together. Some run in the cloud, some run on your in your data center. And so the identity fabric is designed to organize all of these different technologies in a way that you can abstract their core functionality. So you can just treat Hyper as your authentication system and pair that with Azure AD for your single sign-on, and pair that with OPA for your authorization. And it's that ability to link all of these different systems together that creates that fabric.
Yeah. Well, really interesting stuff today. I wonder if you could summarize neatly for our audience, like if they have one takeaway from this, what would you want them to take away from our discussion today?
What I would suggest is that everyone listening to think about how many applications that you have that run in the cloud, how many you have on premises in your data center, and then how you can think about, let me start over. Mm-hmm. What I'd suggest, Marty, in the one big takeaway is to think about identity in a larger sense that allows you to think about how you have applications and data that your user is going to access. So that gets real kind of fundamental and simple. And then how do you link all of those different identity systems together so that you can have the security and seamless experience for that user and understand that identity orchestration is a way to deliver any kind of identity, whether it's single sign-on, authentication, authorization, access control, to any application and data running anywhere. And if you have that problem, then identity orchestration could probably help you out a whole lot.
Yeah. Eric, really great information for our audience. I think everyone who's tuned in is going to learn a lot from this one. So I really appreciate you taking some time to come on with us. For anyone who wants to get more information, to follow you on social media or wherever you may be, how do they follow Eric Olden and how do they get in contact with Strata Identity?
Yeah, great question. We have a to follow me, I'm on LinkedIn at Eric Olden, Olden. And if you're interested in following Strata, our website is strata.io. That's strata.io. And if you're interested in learning more about identity orchestration, we have a nice little contest that's going on where we ask people to submit their use case to us. And, kind of like, can you stump us? And the identity recipe challenge. And so if you send in your use case, then we will kind of show you a demonstration of how orchestration can solve that use case, do that on a Zoom kind of demo. And if you want to do that and we can do a demo together, then we'll give anyone who sends that use case in a pair of Apple AirPod Pros for your help. And to do that, we have an email at podcast@strata.io, podcast@strata.io.
Perfect. Eric, thanks so much for your time. We really appreciate you being with us.
Thanks for having me, Mark.
That'll do it for this episode. I want to thank our sponsors at Valcom. At Valcom, you get much more than a dedicated IT retailer. They become an extension of your IT team. Whether you're a startup or an enterprise, Valcom has the technical sales and engineering expertise to make your business more effective and more productive. Check them out at vlcm.com. That's vlcm.com. Special thanks as well to our supporting partners, the Utah Division of Technology Services, the Kem C. Gardner Policy Institute, the Utah Attorney General's Office, the Utah Department of Public Safety, and our friends at Secuvant. A reminder, you can follow us on Twitter at @cyber24_, or you can hit us up on Facebook as well. We want to hear from you in either place to let us know what you think, or if you have a topic you'd like to hear us discuss on a future episode. You can also rate and review the podcast on Apple Podcasts. We love those 5-star ratings. Thanks, everyone. Have a great week and stay safe online.